Hi, I'm Azzy.
Hi, I'm Vali.
And welcome.
You know what it is?
To the dietitian frequency.
Sorry.
It's okay. Can't get it right every time.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm trying to keep my immune system together. I've been wearing a mask at work because my immune system's been a little down these days, I'll be honest.
You know, I think ever since the whole pandemic and getting COVID on and off, I think it's affected a lot of us. Like, we don't heal as quickly as we used to. I would say for myself as well, that when it comes to common colds and flu, like, they drag.
They really drag. It used to be like 2-3 days. Now you can have it for a week and you're still having a bad cough that you're trying to shake 2-3 weeks later. So it takes so much longer to get better. And that's why today's topic is about your immune health, good people. So we're going to be going through everything in terms of what is the immune system, why it's important to support your immune health, how we can do it through the diet, because there's so many ways we can do it through the diet. And then also looking at supplements.
All
right.
Do
we need to take them? Do we not?
Yep.
That's the question.
So, yeah, welcome to then the Dietitian Frequency. And to remind you, this is a podcast where we bring you the latest insights and tips on things, nutrition and wellness. And today, as Azia said, we are talking about immunity. Yes. What is immunity?
Basically, your immune system is the system that's responsible for fighting off infections. There's a bunch of different cells in our body that is responsible for doing so. There's also cells in our body that are responsible for killing any cells that are going to cause harm to our body. So depending on the cells that they are, they'll either kill the cells or they'll either help to reduce the stress in the body that can cause can kind of affect your immune system as well. But yeah, in terms of your immune system, it's so important to support it because, you know, you want to reduce your risk of any, colds and flus now that it's cold. You want to reduce your risk of getting any kinds of infections. So in general, your immune health is very, very important to support.
Yeah. Now people say, can you boost the immunity, your immune system? Can you boost it? No, you can support it.
There's nothing that's gonna I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions, that do this and it will boost your immune system. Yeah, I mean, it's a big buzzword to say that you're trying to do extra things to try and support it more, but it isn't possible to boost it. You really have to do a variety of things over time to be able to support it. So yeah, it's really the long game is what you have to play with your immune system. It's not just the ones of, let me just take a bunch of these supplements, or let me just eat these foods for this period of time.
Yeah,
it's what you're doing consistently to support it, to make sure you're having enough levels of all of these vitamins and minerals and nutrients that our body needs, so that our immune system is able to function properly throughout the year. So
I think they also, it's the reason why is you just can't pop a pill and then everything's fixed on your immune system. It's because it's complex, and such a complex system with multiple organs that are involved.
Yeah,
like, you know, 70% of immune cells sit on your gut, so That in itself means that you cannot focus on just taking a pill for immunity, because that pill might not be solving your gut problems. So because it's such a complex system, the different organs that are working together, the different cells, the different tissues and organs that are working together, and it becomes a bit of a, I think for me, it's a very fun system to look at, because of how complex it is, but also how, if things are going well, it's like a very well-oiled car with different parts that are just fully functioning, everything's well. But of course, certain things we're saying now about COVID affecting our immunity as a people, that it's now difficult for us to heal better, for some, not for everyone, but for some people to heal on common colds and flu. So it's just telling us that maybe we need to do a little bit more support. Maybe we need to do a little bit more of caring for ourselves, because then one can say the pandemic in itself, over and above it, you know, the disease in itself affecting our immunity, but there were different other systems that were affected because of the concept of the pandemic, like your mental health and gut health, because of how we were eating and where we were and being less physically active, and all those concepts, we can say they somewhat affected our health for those people that struggling now with immunity after the pandemic. So it's just a matter of, I think, focusing on the complexity of it, to say there are many pieces. You can't just say, no, I am focusing on one thing. There's different organs that need to be cared for to support your immunity. And one of the big ones is where majority of the immune cells live, which is the gut in itself. Okay. But what are some of the nutrients you will say play a vital role in immunity?
I think I want to start off with the one that gets the most airtime, I would say. The vitamin C, I think, is one of those very, very popularized nutrients or vitamins. And it's a water-soluble vitamin. It's packed with antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties, which bring down your, you know, inflammation in the body, and it helps to reduce any oxidative stress in the body, which is also really good to support immune health in general. So with vitamin C, it's really important to get a variety. We all know, in terms of vitamin C, the most popular would be the citrus fruits, so like your grapefruits, your oranges, your lemons, but there are actually sources of vitamin C that have more vitamin C than our citrus. So for instance, your peppers, half a cup of raw pepper has about 95 milligrams of vitamin C.
That's a lot.
It's I mean, the average adult male needs about 70 milligrams, average adult female needs about 75. So
where did the 1,000 milligram come from?
1,000
milligrams of vitamin C that everyone was raving about and saying, I need 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C.
I have no idea. It must have been something.
That is actually the upper limit, the upper toxicity limit, to say that you can have as high as 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C without getting the toxicity.
Yeah.
Anything above that, then you've got the toxicity, you've got this GI discomfort, the nausea, and all of that. Now, people I think there's then, obviously, maybe it's the supplements industry, they are using that to say, this is what you need. But the quantities are way lower than that, right? What you are mentioning. Now, you said how much for male?
About 90 milligrams for male. So, yeah, it's so much more. If you're looking at the supplements on the market, they have really high amounts.
Of course, the reason why they've got so much is maybe because of the increasing the absorbability to make sure that, you know, obviously we know with supplements, if a supplement has X milligrams, you're not absorbing all of that X milligrams. You might absorb 5%, you might absorb 50%, depending on your body. So I think they put it on the upper limit of the safe limit they can put, so that they say, you know what, you can absorb as much as you can.
As your body can. Yes. No, that makes sense. Yeah, no, with vitamin C, I think we are lucky because it is the popular one, but there's not a lot of people who suffer from toxicity from it.
And it's abundant from food.
It's really, you find it in kiwis, you find it in broccoli. You can also find it in your green and yellow peppers.
Guava.
In guava. There's so many sources of vitamin C that you can get. And there's just so many different ways that you can get it that... If you are considering a supplement, you really must do it with health professional guidance, I would say. But another important nutrient is definitely vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And that's where the pandemic actually shone a massive light on vitamin D and how, you know, specifically with COVID, we saw how vitamin D reduced hospital stay and reduced kind of deaths from COVID as well, and how people with vitamin C deficiency were more likely to have longer hospital stay or be in critical care for ICU. So vitamin C is such an important vitamin in terms of supporting our immune health. So vitamin D, you can get it from the sun. Most of us, let's be honest, how often do we sit in the sun? I can't even tell you that I get it 20 minutes every
day.
I do not.
I get 30 minutes every day just because of the garden. But if I was not doing that, the sitting in the garden drinking my tea every day as part of my morning me time, I would not, because we are indoors the whole day.
We are indoors the whole day. That's very true. So I think, you know, focusing on vitamin D in the diet makes it even more important, especially if you're someone who is desk bound. You know, you're constantly working indoors. So in the diet, you can get it in most of your dairy products, your milk and dairy products, so like your yogurts. You can get it from your eggs. You can get it from any fortified products. So that means that they've added it in. So that's for anyone who's plant-based. There are specific
plant milks. It will state there that fortified with vitamin D.
Yes, it will say on the label that it's fortified with vitamin D, and you'll find that's on the nutrition information table as well, how much of it is added in. And then it is also important to get it through your fish, your oily fish. So focusing on your mackerel, your sardines and pilchards and tuna, those are some affordable sources of vitamin HD, and then also you can get it from your salmon and trout.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely focusing on it from, for instance, if you take your mushrooms and put them in a sunny corner in your house, they could actually absorb the vitamin D from the sun. So at least 20 to 30 minutes, that gives you a third of your vitamin D requirements if you're having half a cup of that cooked. So that's another really nice way to do it, especially if you're plant-based or if you're not a big fan of fish or your dairy products. It's really a nice way to get some more vitamin D in the diet. So yeah, with vitamin D, really that's one, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin.
Mm.
That means that if we're having toxic amounts of vitamin D, it will get stored in our fat cells and released at a rate that we're not so sure of. So that can be something that can be detrimental to your health in the long term. So just being very careful with vitamin D to supplement. And that's where you can ask a health professional to test your vitamin D levels.
Mm.
So ask them, just say, listen, I want to get them tested, especially for our melanated brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We who have melanin, we struggle to absorb as much vitamin D because the melanin actually blocks the vitamin D absorption in our skin.
Mm.
So we're way, way more likely to get vitamin D deficiency. So yeah, making sure that you are getting your vitamin D levels checked, and that will help to make sure you're supporting it. But there's so many other nutrients. What about selenium?
There's also selenium. Selenium is not really trendy. Because it's not, but it is an antioxidant. It's a mineral, which is an antioxidant that plays a role again in protecting cells from oxidative damage and also regulating immune function. Good sources of selenium is things like Brazil nuts. I know that we don't really eat Brazil nuts, but one Brazil nut can give you enough selenium for the day.
Yeah.
But then also foods like your tuna, shrimp. Chicken in itself also contains selenium, and whole grains, especially your oats and brown rice, contain selenium. So it's not that difficult to get selenium. Even dark chocolate contains selenium as well. So adding those foods into your daily diet. But the big thing about selenium, it works hand in hand with these other nutrients, like you've mentioned now, vitamin D and vitamin C, in making sure that our immune system functions properly.
Mm.
Back into vitamin D, a lot of supplements then, again, we're combining vitamin D with zinc. And because obviously we now know vitamin D plays an immunity a role in immune system, but also zinc does play a role in immunity. However, studies then also found that those who were supplementing with those nutrient supplements that contained vitamin D and zinc combined, the zinc was so much in high quantities that it was actually blocking the function of copper, resulting in problems of people feeling like numbness. In their hands and feet, and also just affecting their neurological function in a way. So be careful. That's why we keep on saying be careful when it comes to dietary supplements, that the quantities, it doesn't mean, it's not like the concept of the higher the better. No, you have to still get your levels checked so that you identify if you need additional supplementation. And usually you may not, you know, and there are other sources, like we're mentioning the food sources, which is always preferred. Your body always will prefer food first. It will prefer absorbing nutrients from food. But let's talk about zinc in itself as well.
Yeah.
Over and above immune function, zinc is important for wound healing. And because these nutrients are spoken of about immunity, sometimes we overlook the other benefits and say, but wound healing, I remember I used to work in government, and for our kiddies, when wound healing was involved, we had a zinc cream that was directly applied to wounds. And so it's a similar concept with what we eat, that if your diet is has enough zinc, it helps with wound healing, but also it helps with immunity. What are the good sources of zinc?
We can get zinc from our whole grains. You can get it from our meats, from our dark meats as well. Those, I would say, are the main sources. Any sources you
seeds,
have to add?
Nuts and seeds. Your pumpkin seeds, imbek. We call them imbek. Every time I have to say pumpkin seeds, I have to say imbek because I just love the word imbek. but yeah, your nuts like cashews and almonds are also good sources of zinc. Okay. And beans, as well as you were saying, the whole grains.
Yes.
And then last but not least, I guess it's iron.
Yeah.
And the truth is, majority of women on the childbearing age have got iron deficiency.
If you are always feeling tired, get your iron levels checked. Because
if you eat non-food items like ice and sand and chalk and whatever things that are not food, you might have pica, which is signaling that you've got iron deficiency as well.
Yeah. So if you're a massive ice eater, definitely get your iron levels checked or anything else.
Anything else that is not food and you really enjoy eating those things, your iron levels might be low. So iron is also a very important one when it comes to immune system function. And the good sources, we've spoken about iron a lot when we're talking about
our cycle. But there's a lot of dietary thinking
and endometriosis. We spoke a lot about iron there, but
but I think we when it comes to diets, there's the meats, heme sources that we can mention. For instance, your red meat, your chicken, your organ meat are heme sources that is your animal-based sources of iron.
Yeah.
And then your plant iron is your non-heme iron. So it's not as well absorbed as your heme iron. So it needs a little bit of help. So vitamin C is actually one of the nutrients that helps with improving the iron absorption. So any of your, for instance, plant-based iron sources, for instance, your leafy greens, it could be your legumes, your whole grains, you need to make sure that you're having them with a source of your vitamin C. For instance, if you're having a lentil curry, adding some peppers in, or if you're having some rice, adding in some chopped up green peppers into the rice to up the vitamin C in there so that it's better absorbed. Or if you're having a breakfast cereal, then adding in some kiwi fruits or squeezing in some lemon juice. I don't know if you want to make a smoothie in there with some greens, adding in some oranges or some lemon, however you can to flavor your food as well.
Yeah,
that's a great way.
What we can also establish is that food pairing is important.
Yeah.
Whether it's improving your iron, but also just how we combine foods and eating a variety of foods then is important, because it seems like nutrients, vitamins support minerals and minerals support nutrients, and that synergy that happens, which makes us really, 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 I think, that there's that need of being more adventurous with food and trying new things and combining different flavors, because you're not only doing it for flavor, but you're also enhancing the nutrition and just activating that extra level of nutrient absorbability from different foods.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, when it comes to gut health, I know you touched on it, but if there's 70% at least of your immune system found in your gut, that means that you need to find ways to support your gut health.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've spoken a lot about this. I think this is a topic that we both enjoy. Mine's very, very big on gut health as well.
Yeah.
So just making sure you're getting in a lot of fiber, because fiber is essentially that food that feeds the good bacteria in your gut. So it acts as a prebiotic. So variety is better. So getting in your onions and your garlic, those are some good sources of the specific type of prebiotic that you need. And then also just again, variety in terms of fruits and vegetables is very important. And then going for your fiber-rich starches. So your whole grain cereals, your whole grain breads, going for your beans and legumes for more variety in terms of your proteins. And then in terms of probiotics, making sure you're getting in some fermented foods. Amasi is a great one. That is my stan.
Yeah, no.
And we all love that. Also,
no questions there. We can always argue whether sugar or no sugar with amasi, but
yeah, it's a topic for another day. I will fight for no sugar. and making sure that you're getting in those probiotics. You know, if it means that you're having fermented cabbage, like your kimchi, or any fermented porridges. Fermented sorghum is also another one. Sour porridge. There's a variety of fermented foods you can get, but if you're thinking probiotics, that's also something that you can look into, you know, just making sure you're getting the right one. So that's where you can go and speak to dietitians like Mbali or myself, who can give you the guidance in terms of how you can choose the right probiotic for you. And the same thing with the supplements, how to choose the right supplement for you, because that's another thing that we talk about when it comes to immune health. Do I need to supplement? How much and what makes a supplement good? And that's not something that we can share here for everyone, because everyone's different, right?
Everyone is different.
Everyone will need a different dosage of different supplements if they are deficient. So that's something that you must definitely go and speak to the dietitians about. So
don't just hear on apps and the people say, oh, this is my fighter. Somebody else's fighter is not your fighter.
Exactly.
Because we don't know how your levels, but also we don't know what other conditions do you have.
Exactly.
That what other medication are you taking which may clash with the vitamin or the supplement that you are taking, even with the supplements themselves. For example, we're going to go back into vitamin C, which we've spoken a lot about. There are some people who need a vitamin C supplement and benefit from a vitamin supplement. But mm-hmm. then you take it and you're thinking you're going to get the clear skin and the immune function up and all of that. And then vitamin C, the supplement, actually dries your skin out and you have insomnia, where you struggle with sleep, or you find yourself just like nauseated most of the time. Or some people really have even serious problems like low libido, you know, all of those things that now you're thinking, oh, but they said I must buy a supplement. So just ask a dietitian, you know, talk to a dietitian about
it. Ask yourself, who's they?
Exactly.
Does they have a degree in that specific
exactly.
area?
Exactly.
Is they someone who you can count on for that kind of information?
Mm.
Because if they aren't, if they're someone who you really look up to, who you enjoy watching on whichever app, social media apps, that's not going to mean that they have the expertise. It just means that they're going to be able to entertain us and show us what works for them.
Yeah.
But what works for them, again, like Mbali said, doesn't mean that it's going to work for you either.
100%. So. The one thing I want to know, an ampoule a day keeps a doctor away, true or false?
False. False. I think back in that day, they should have said an orange a day, because there was a time where there was a lot of people at sea and there was a lot of scabies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically one of the things that can happen when you have vitamin C deficiency, where you have like sores in your gums and just painful gums and bleeding gums. And the orange a day should be something that should have kept the doctor away for them. But that's false. That's definitely false. And I mean, if we look at the nutrient kind of build up of apples, it's not something that's fully nutritionally balanced. It doesn't have fat in it. I mean, any fruit will not have any source of fat. It won't have any source of protein. It's fiber, vitamins and minerals, and your carbohydrates.
So for what fruits are, it's a healthy fruit. It's a healthy fruit. You can include it in your diet, but there's much more, I guess. That's what we are saying. There's much more to one's diet that they need to support their immunity, support their gut health. It cannot be one fruit or one food. That's why we speak of a concept of variety.
Yes.
So if maybe the statement was a varied diet a day keeps the doctor away, I'll say maybe that, because it doesn't specify one food item. It doesn't say an apple a day. And I think the concept of superfoods come there, because superfoods then make in a pool of nutritious foods with different nutrients for different benefits and all of that. Then superfoods are those ones with good PR. And now we're just going to highlight you. Why? Because, I mean, you're good. You better. No. All foods feed in different. They give us different nutrients. And we don't have a superfood, because even the foods that you find, let's say avocado. Avocado is one of the foods that you will be termed superfoods.
Yeah.
But you can't say an avocado a day keeps a doctor away as well, because an avocado doesn't contain everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't have all the nutrients. Unless if it had 100%, even an apple, if it had 100% of everything.
And there's nothing that has 100% of everything. And that's why you need variety.
Variety,
so
yeah.
Variety will help you to get to all the needs, that your nutritional needs, your vitamin and mineral needs. It's more fun as well, you know? Variety is so much more exciting. What is life without having different fruits and different seasons? What is life without, you know, having different foods that you enjoy? And making sure that you're trying to incorporate those that you enjoy and as part of a healthy and balanced diet is the main thing that's very important.
But what you're saying also, like, what is life without having fruits in different seasons?
Yeah.
And I think you can see the types of fruits that we get, for example, in autumn, winter, are the types of fruits and vegetables that are high in vitamin C. And so sometimes we can say, I'm not saying it is the fact and the science, nature gives us what we need in a different season. So whatever that's in season and that's at that time, in terms of fresh produce, is high in nutrients that somewhat your body needs around that time. So think about that as well. That's why citrus fruit is in season now, and peppers are in season, and all of those foods are actually high in vitamin C.
Yeah.
So think of it like that. That's why we encourage eating, when it comes to fresh produce, eat what's in season, what's locally available, because then even your local soil knows what you need as a local.
Exactly. And that's better for the environment as well.
It is better for the environment.
You're supporting people, you're supporting your local
environment,
your local entrepreneurs and producers of any kind of our food. Yeah. So it's much better.
And it's affordable when you buy local and seasonal.
Can I tell you, I always rank food affordability according to the price of one product.
Mm.
And that one product is a McFlurry.
Mm,
mm. A McFlurry 8 years ago was 15 Rand. Mm. A McFlurry today is about at least 35.
Mm.
That just shows you how expensive food has gotten. And that's why it's so important to go seasonal. And, you know, when you're trying to eat healthier, just be mindful, you know, because when you've done the meal preparation, you know what you need for the week, then you don't end up buying foods that sit and rot in your fridge.
Mm.
Doing fridge inventory regularly so that you can see, okay, what do I have? What can I whip up into a stew and freeze it as a stew so that I'm still able to eat these nutrients and eat something that's wholesome and delicious at a later stage, you know? So doing those kind of practical things are very important to make sure that you're also not losing out on what you spent.
100%.
But of course, again, that's something a dietitian can give you a lot more guidance as to how you can navigate all of these concerns that you have to make sure that you're still able to make healthy eating practical for your lifestyle.
All right. As we wrap up on this, quickly, what are some of the lifestyle practices that one can do to help support their immunity, their immune system, their immune health?
Mm.
Yeah.
First of all, sleep.
Hambolala, go to sleep.
Nina, go TikTok.
TikTok the whole time.
You need to get enough sleep. And, you know, good sleep hygiene is a part of quality sleep as well.
Yeah.
So keeping the phones and all of the gadgets away before bed, trying to make sure you have a good sleep routine. I always say, if it means that you need to take a shower before bed, it means you switch your lights off, you only have a lamp on, you try and limit as much bright light as possible. Anything that's going to help you to get into a good sleep routine. And if it means you need an alarm on your phone to tell you when to wind down, maybe if you need two or three because you don't listen to the first or the second one, do that. And then also making sure you're exercising, because exercise is also part of good immunity. So
get out there,
150 minutes a week, could be 30 minutes five times a week, could be 50 minutes three times a week, could be 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, five times in a week. Whatever works for you is the best thing that can be part of your routine. And then definitely making sure that you're getting a healthy diet. Healthy diet is important. We've spoken about all of that. Healthy fats, vitamins and minerals from your fruits and vegetables, your lean proteins, getting in your fiber-rich starches. And then also, if you're someone who enjoys your alcohol, be mindful that does affect your immune health.
Mm.
It actually is one of those things that can, it increases inflammation in your body.
Yes.
And it does negatively affect your immune health and your mental health. There's a lot of effects that excessive alcohol has on your body. So making sure that you're trying to be more mindful with your alcohol intake, and if you're a smoker as well, because smokers actually have much higher vitamin C needs because of the effects that smoking has on the body. So if you're a smoker, making sure that you know you're going to need more vitamin C. It's usually about 135 milligrams that a smoker needs, give or take, so making sure you're getting in more of that. And trying to stop as well would be something that we always advise as health professionals. It's easier said than done, though, so it's always something you need to navigate with a healthcare professional who can give you the support that you need in terms of withdrawal symptoms and things like that. But trying to reduce your intake of cigarettes or that will really help. In terms of lifestyle, I think those are the main points.
And
just making sure you're also getting enough water, trying to reduce your sugary beverage intake, your sugary food intake, and also your takeaway intake, which is very difficult with the load shedding now, but we'll definitely have a load shedding series, maybe make it a nutrition nugget for you all so that you can have some tips on how to navigate load shedding, especially when you're trying to stay healthy.
100%.
But yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. So essentially, it's just not about popping a pill to improve your immunity. There's much more to that. There's the food we eat. There are lifestyle practices that you need to do.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's important for everyone to remember that your gut is also just fundamental and important piece of this puzzle. Because majority of our immune cells, they reside in your gut. They stay in your gut.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
All right, so you've got it, folks. Here on the Dietitian Frequency, once again this week, we brought you all information, nutrition information you needed to know about your immunity and immune health, immune system. I like it when I say all three because they actually mean the same
immunity,
thing.
Immune health, immune system.
But it makes me sound posh. All right. Until next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.